Let's please turn to Jeremiah 26, 24. We saw that last week Jeremiah was told by God, you know, to go to the belly of the beast, you know, go right to the jaws of the heresies that were there in Jerusalem, which is the temple. Go right to the Temple Mount where all the false priests are, all the false prophets are, and tell them, warn them. Perhaps, the title was, perhaps they will listen. Everyone will listen. Well, they didn't. We know that they didn't. And really, that's our mission too. Didn't Jesus tell us to go out into all the nations, you know, teaching, preaching, everything that he's ever commanded, baptizing them. And so our mission is we go out and tell them, perhaps somebody will listen. And everybody in this room listen, right? When somebody witnessed to you, and there's people that are still listening. And that's why we're still here, is because God is going to keep the church here while there's any chance that they're still listening. And this week, the title is going to be, Yet They Prophesy a Lie in My Name. The false prophets, there's always, Satan always brings people to confuse, brings false prophets, false teachers, false pastors, false religious leaders, false Christian leaders. So they preach a message that's not in accordance with his word, you know, because Satan wants to confuse people. Well, wait a second. You Christians, you say we have to believe in Jesus, but there's those Christians that say something else. And you say global government's coming and the tribulation period and all that stuff, but other people say, oh no, that all happened in 70 AD and nothing's going to happen. Everything's okay. The church is going to take over. And so then the people are confused. They're both Christians. They're both religious leaders. But when one is looking to the Word of God, and that's what Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was a true prophet. He heard the Word of God, and he told them. But there's false prophets and false teachers today. Jeremiah 26, 24. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah. They were wanting to kill Jeremiah, but this Ahikam saved Jeremiah, prevailed against the people wanting to kill him, say, no, we're not going to kill Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. As God had prophesied to Jeremiah in the beginning, they're going to hate you, but I'm going to make sure they don't kill you until the very end. I mean, he's an old man when they actually do kill him down in Egypt. And that's extra-biblical history. As far as the Bible is concerned, it doesn't say how Jeremiah died. Extra-biblical history, as a very old man, he was down in Egypt, and they finally said, okay, we're done listening to you, and they killed him. After he had told them, don't go to Egypt. We're going to Egypt. And he goes with them to stay as their prophet. It's amazing. We'll get to that at the end of Jeremiah or later on in Jeremiah. Chapter 27, verse 1. And you're going to have to take a pen and fix something here, because in the Masoretic text, which is what the King James Bible is based on, there was a scribal mistake, error that was made. So when people say, there's errors in the Bible, you can say, yep, there is. What? You agree? Yeah. In this one case, this is an error in the Bible. It says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, first of all, the Septuagint translation doesn't even have verse 1. So when they made the Septuagint, they were reading a Hebrew version before Jesus that didn't even have that verse. So somebody scribed and basically redid from chapter 26. It's not, this chapter 27 is about Zedekiah and not Jehoiakim. So instead of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, you need to put Zedekiah in there, because that's who it really is about, as we will see. Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, all Jordan today, the king of Tyre, Lebanon today, and the king of Sidon, also Lebanon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. So if Zedekiah was king, he can't be doing it during the days of Jehoiakim. Everybody see that? So there's a problem. And so it is one scribal error. So what Jeremiah is told to do, right when Zedekiah takes over, and there's already been an invasion of Nebuchadnezzar to haul some stuff away from the temple into Babylon, and he's also taken people away, Daniel, etc. And so then what, so it sounds like Lebanon, people from Lebanon and Jordan, who are also scared of Nebuchadnezzar, are probably coming to Zedekiah saying, let's join together and let's shake off Babylon. Let's make it so that we can have a mutual defense pact, is what it looks like is happening. And Jeremiah puts a yoke around his neck and he makes some other yokes and he hands them as these diplomats come to Zedekiah, king of Israel, king of Judah. He says, here's your yoke and chains, you're all going to be slaves of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is going to defeat all of you, is what he's being told by God to tell him. And command them to say to their masters, you diplomats, go home and tell your kings, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. What is God saying? Whenever he says, I'm the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything on it, and so now listen. He's saying, I created everything. And I'm telling you what's going to go down. You really ought to listen. It's kind of like today, what I was sharing with on Sunday. We really should emphasize to people, oh, you want to read the Hindu Vedas. You think all roads lead to heaven, everything else. Really, why don't you just listen to the guy that rose from the grave? Why don't you listen to him? Because who else has risen from the grave? And that's what God is saying right here. He goes, I created everything. Here, listen to me. Judgment's coming in the world. We should be thinking the same thing. Well, he's going to talk about judgment coming to him. And now I have given all these lands, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. So I'm the one who creates people, and I've made this pagan, idol-worshipping, megalomaniac to be my servant. As we know from the book of Daniel, he was just major in love with himself. But he's my servant, because I'm going to use him to wipe all of you out. And the beasts of the field I have also given to him to serve him. All of you will be defeated. So if we're living in the last days and the Word of God has said that global government's coming, I've emphasized this for weeks, what should we say? It's coming. It doesn't matter what people think. The God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it has told us by his divine prophets, divinely inspired prophets, what it's going to be like in the last days as the world goes to global government. Is there any way to turn it back? No. Because they were meeting to turn back Babylon, God's servant, from defeating them, as a true prophet had said was going to happen. So all the nations shall serve him and his son's son, talking about how long Babylon would be in power until the Medo-Persians conquered them, until the time of his land comes, for his land to be destroyed by the Medo-Persians. And then many nations and great kings shall make him, Babylon, and all the descendants after him, serve them. So who were they? The Medo-Persians first, then the Greeks ruled over the area, then the Romans ruled over the area, and other nations have ruled over that Iraq, Babylon area. Even America went over there and helped fulfill prophecies. Many people are going to come over there and just show their stuff on defeating this nation of what was Iraq, Babylon. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. He's my servant. He's going to kill you all. The only way you save your life is to defect to him. You surrender. You do not fight. Now, here's where the, you know, trying to develop a tie between what he's saying and what God's word has said to us in our day. Do we escape to Babylon? What is the Babylon in the last days? It's the kingdom of the Antichrist. He doesn't tell us to surrender to the kingdom of the Antichrist. Who do we surrender to save our necks? Nobody. There's nobody to surrender to. There isn't a way to get it. Who is it? Who do we surrender to? Jesus. We surrender to Jesus. See, this time, it says, you know, like Revelation says about the Philadelphian church, because you have not denied my name and you have kept my word, I will keep you from the hour to test this whole world, the entire world. So what we need to tell people is, you know, this place is really going down. There's only one escape. And if you want to learn Jewish history, go and, you know, people thought that they would be able to avoid Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon coming and defeating them. It didn't work. God said, surrender and you'll live. The ones that surrendered to Babylon, they lived. But God now is saying, surrender to Jesus. And if you don't do that, not only will you lose your life, you'll lose your eternal soul. And we could use this section of Jeremiah to witness to him. And here's one for the applicability today. People think that Russia's going to win right now. And when the war broke out between Russia and Ukraine, we had an evening service to prophecy update. And then, recognizing that this was the reason why Russia invaded us, the globalists were really trying, they got to snuff out Russia. Russia cannot be an independent state. Nobody can be an independent state in the coming global government. The West, the globalists, were going to use Ukraine to station first strike weapons in the eastern Ukraine, and then they'd be able to first strike Russia if they decided they didn't want to go along with the plan. It was a big global extortion plan. Well, Russia right now is major destroying Ukraine. And I said back then, and that's not to say there's not even hundreds of thousands of Russians that are dying too. But people are saying that, you know, Zelensky, you've got to give up. You've got to give up. But the globalists are saying no, because they have a plan. If you're for Ukraine, you're for the globalists. You can be for the Ukrainian people because God wants us to be for the Ukrainian people. But if you're for the whole, you know, global geopolitical situation that caused this war, then you're for the globalists because that's the ones that started it. If you're for Russia, you're for the winner or loser? The loser. Well, how can you say that, Kevin? They say that it's impossible to defeat Russia. Nobody's ever defeated Russia. Russia has all these natural resources and their economy is doing great. And so all this other stuff. But God said the whole world becomes a 10-nation global empire. That means nobody gets to be a nation state. That means somehow, some way, Russia goes down. Just like somehow, some way, America goes down. If we are truly in the last days. And so that would be, our thing is, okay, whatever. We know what the Word of God says. It doesn't talk about Russia and Ukraine. But we know the day we're in. We know what the globalists are saying. And so if you're for Russia, you're for the loser. Because somehow, tragically, their nation says, and I recognize the Bible also says that they're an enemy of Israel. And they get defeated by God himself. But that's a different chapter. The Bible and Gog and Magog. Should I get into a diversion to explain? Think about this. Russia hates globalists. Who else hates globalists? Iran. Iran wants to be a Muslim country all by itself. The whole Arab world wants to be all by itself. So when you have When Russia sees the entire Western world trying to destroy them, then the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that's what they're doing. They're consolidating with people that are hating, that they're putting down all their disagreements and stuff because we do not want the globalists to control our countries And so let's have a confederacy together, much like Lebanon, much like what's going on here. We're going to create a confederacy that we're going to do our own currency so they can't extort us through the American dollar and the ability to trade in American dollars. So we're going to create our own currency. We're going to beat you globalists because we're going to be over here. Which side is Israel on? Is Israel on the side of the globalists or independent states? They're on the side of the globalists. Why is that? Why would Israel be deceived into being on the side of the globalists? Because they want global government, because that's the only way they could ever have peace. They need a global government that takes away war forever. The Bible says they will acknowledge the Antichrist as their Messiah because he gives them peace as a global leader. So they look at it pragmatically. They don't look at it biblically. They look at it like, we gotta be for this because if we keep doing this nation, there's a lot of nations that want us all dead. We need a global government that'll promise us they can't kill us. And so, who's the enemy of Russia, Iran, and everybody else that's not wanting to be independent? Israel. And so, even though from a nation state standpoint, Russia to me is a good guy, from picking on God's people and wanting to, in the future, annihilate them for sending weapons to Ukraine and everything else that's gone on, they're going to be dealt with by God. Does that make sense? So, therefore, do not listen, verse 9, to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you, to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. Do they accuse us of being conspiracy theorists to believe the things the Bible has told us? And yet, once again, about 6 months later, all the conspiracies come true. But the nation that brings their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. They'll plant crops. If you give in, then Babylon's going to just say, live in your land. If you submit to me, then you can live in your land. Only the rapture saves us, though, right? As we've mentioned, only faith in Jesus, because the new Babylon is a global kingdom of Satan, who empowers the Antichrist. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die? That's a good question for our friends. Why? Why reject Jesus and die? Forever. Separated from God. You and your people by the sword, by famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. What's he really saying? Why don't you just listen to God and live? Well, because I'd rather listen to false prophets. I'd rather listen to positive people. You're so negative, Jeremiah. And I just want to listen to positive people. I warned somebody about, I got some information about the housing collapse just before it happened. And this one guy believed me with everything that I was saying. And he was in a multi-million dollar partnership with somebody else building stuff. And he told his partner, I want out. And his partner, why? Because I got some information that things are going to go south. I like to surround myself with positive people. What has happened to you? Well, he went bankrupt. My friend barely got out from being bankrupt. People want to hear good things. They want smooth words. They want nice, positive things. And Jeremiah's going to deal with that here in a minute. Our message to people, get your life under the yoke of Jesus. Is Jesus a burdensome yoke to bear? No, my burden is light. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden. The world system is what yokes us into slavery. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My burden is light. Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord. And then here's the title of today. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. These guys rise themselves up so to kill you. Is that true of false pastors today that don't tell people that they have to believe in Jesus to be saved? They have to repent and turn away from their sins and they have to commit their lives to Jesus? They're doing the same thing. Yet they are prophesying a lie in his name to cause people to die spiritually. Verse 16, also I spoke to the priests and to all this people saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar had already come. He had already gone through the gate. Okay, give me that. I want to take all these people here and I'm going to take them to Babylon, your wise men, you know, Ezekiel and Daniel, and I'm going to take all this stuff out of the temple and I'm taking it to Babylon. And so what were the false prophets saying? Even though judgment had already come, see, judgment had come. They had seen the power of Nebuchadnezzar. And they submitted to it because he was, you know, somehow he was showed them, you better let me in or I'm going to just annihilate you. And he stole their stuff. And then the false prophets are saying, no, in a couple years, everything is going to come back. As soon as the next elections and as soon as we flip the House and the Senate and get a new president, everything's going to be okay. We're going to be back to normal. That's exactly it. Behold, these people are saying it's coming back. Normal life is coming back. And as I've emphasized in earlier studies, was nation of Israel wanting to repent of worshiping the Queen of Heaven and worshiping all these other idols in the temple and everything? Absolutely not. No repentance, just everything's going to work out okay. Do not listen to them. You know, Jeremiah is saying, don't listen to them. Serve the King of Babylon, for us, Jesus. Serve Jesus and live. Why should this city be laid waste? Why should your soul be laid waste? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, the ones that Nebuchadnezzar didn't take when he came the first two times, which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. So if you're really that squared away as a prophet, then just make your prophecy that these things that are in the temple still aren't going to go to Babylon because I'm telling you they are. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and destroy this place and take everything that's left. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, the pillars to the temple. The sea is a laver of bronze. That, you know, you're coming into the temple and there's a laver of the brazen altar and then the laver of bronze was still there. Concerning the carts, all the carts that help with the sacrificial system, concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. And there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. When did that happen? As soon as the Medo-Persians conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus, named in scripture in the book of Isaiah, 150 years before he was born, he becomes the Medo-Persian king, and he makes a decree, okay, you Jews, take all this stuff that Nebuchadnezzar stole out of your temple, and take it all back and rebuild the temple. And so God prophesied that that would happen. And he goes, so Jeremiah said, don't let those prophets say the stuff in Babylon is going to come to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, the stuff that's still in Jerusalem, it's all going to be taken to Babylon until, you know, the king's son, the grandson, etc., you know, they all die, taken over by the Medo-Persians, then it's coming back. You can read 2 Kings 25:13, which is when Nebuchadnezzar came and took everything away. So 2 Kings 25, 13 through 17 is all the final elements of the, you know, the different things of the temple area were all broken up, taken back to Babylon. Until the day that I visit them, fulfilled by Ezra and Nehemiah, you can read those. Chapter 28. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, so it's really at the same time as 27, except he's already done the yoke story, you know, put the yoke around his neck and given the yokes and the chains to the other ambassadors. In the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, so he's now a prophet, and he's going to contradict Jeremiah. So he's a false prophet. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. So God's saying, I've broken the yoke. Babylon's not going to come here. And it appears that he's the son of a true prophet. So it says, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet. Isn't that tragic? Is that, do we ever see that happening? A really solid, Bible-believing, Jesus, you know, Jesus-believing, God-fearing, Bible-preaching pastor that turns it over to his son who gets pasteurized, and they're apostate wokes? It's like unbelievable how much that happens. And especially in the Calvary Chapel movement. And because it's, they think that the senior pastors think that somehow it's a dynasty thing instead of the callings of God and the powers of the Holy Spirit. And it's wreaked havoc. It's caused great destruction. So then he goes on to say, within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. So the battle of the prophets. Satan's got his prophet. God's got his prophet. And then Jeremiah's going to explain to him, you know, really, if you look at the prophets of God in the past, there's a way you can do a litmus test. You know, you can tell which ones are the true prophets of God. And then he's going to say, you know why? Because the true prophets of God are negative. They're always warning of judgment. And when guys sit there, everything's going to be fine, you know that he's bad. Jeremiah 28:4, and I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Good luck with that. Jeconiah never comes back. 2 Kings 25:27. He lives in jail in Babylon until Nebuchadnezzar's dead, and then one of his descendants takes over, and evil Merodach takes over, and then lets him eat at his table. He doesn't have to be in jail anymore, in the dungeon. He gets to eat at his table. So for decades, he's in jail. Not 2 years, didn't come back. You know, the prophet was false. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. Good message. Your better days are ahead of you. Oh, amen. If only that could be true, but it isn't. Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Go ahead, deceive yourselves and the people with your happy juice, is what he's saying. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of the people. And then this is what I was alluding to earlier. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Now think about this. What prophet in the Bible prophesied peace? None. In fact, what did it say earlier in Jeremiah 8:11? You'll remember. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, don't you love going to bed when, you know, the news hits her, peace, peace is breaking out all over the world, and go, oh, now I can sleep tonight. But it's a lie. So you've slightly healed the hurt of my people, but there's no peace coming when there's no repentance. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck, so I don't know how he did that. But somehow he goes up there and cuts something or rips something off and just takes it off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way for a moment. Now I'm interjecting here, but he didn't want to hit the guy. So he goes and he cools down a little bit and he comes back and he says this. I mean, don't repeat that I said that because I don't know that's true. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yoke of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Do we have a lot of false people telling people things to make them believe a lie in our culture with just everything that is happening? Therefore, verse 16, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. So there's so much to learn from Jeremiah. We've been emphasizing that over the months that applies to our day. We truly are seeing a country that's much like Israel, much like Judah, in its time of depravity, its time of rejection of God. We see it in ways that I don't even know happened in the days of Judah. And we hear peace, peace, everything's going to be okay. And we know from the Word of God it's not going to be okay. And Jeremiah was sitting there trying to warn people, listen to me, don't listen to these false prophets. But they wanted to listen to the false prophets, but he kept on telling the truth. And really, until he was taken down to Egypt with the survivors of Judah that didn't get killed or taken away to Babylon, just a handful of people. And when we get to that chapter, it's like, okay, Jeremiah, you were right. Sorry we dropped you in the cistern to kill you. But, you know, somebody brought you out, and so now you're still a prophet. Just tell us what we're supposed to do. Whatever God says, we'll do. And Jeremiah's, I think it's 10 days. He finally hears from God. Tell him, don't go to Egypt. Just stay here. Babylon won't kill you. And he tells them, and they say, we're not going to do that. We're going to Egypt. Because if we stay here, can you imagine? They just, and our culture is the same way today. We can prove things out of the Bible. You know, we've been recently doing some archaeological stuff in the apologetic ministry for school of ministry. And people can see that stuff. They can hear that stuff. They can see these prophecies coming true about Israel and everything else. And they just don't care. But there's some remnant still out there. There's still somebody out there because the church is still here. And we got to go find the elusive last one. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jeremiah and just his love for you, his love for the truth, and even against all the opposition and people wanting to kill him, people mocking him publicly, Satan's emissaries lying about him and being false prophets. And Lord, help us, because there's so many within Christendom today that do not read their Bibles. They do not know your word. And they listen to their false teachers and their YouTube preachers and everything else that is so contrary to your word. And they think that, they think about Bible-fearing people like they thought about Jeremiah. And we just want to use Jeremiah as an example to ourselves, our own souls, our hearts, to just keep doing what Jeremiah did. Tell the truth, warn the people, until judgment comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. It's a joy that the world cannot understand. Joy to know, joy to live, my joy I give unto you. My love I give unto you. It's a love that the world cannot give. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Love to know, love to live, my love I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live, my peace I give unto you.
Isn't it awesome to have God's peace when the whole world is like not in peace? Because it's a peace they can't take away. We're going to go die and go to heaven somehow, or get raptured. God bless you, keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.